Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise White here. Folks, we are in the midst of having a discussion here where I'm trying to find out what is our responsibility. I'm talking about you and I. I saw a mom. I'm assuming she was their mom with four little children. And there could have been a fifth one, I think, was inside. But in any case, they all seemed to be under the age of 10 or so. And there was one who she was carrying and she put down, but they were taking their laundry back and forth to the car. This is my chats from the laundromat. And so she was screaming, cursing, yelling at them. At one point, she grabbed one of the young people, one of the kids, the little boy, by the arm. And all they were doing was going back and forth to the door. And I leaned in and I said something. This is not the first time I've done something like this. I've done it before. And I've never really had a good experience with it. I mean, every time I've done this, the few times I've done this, typically I'm either ignored or what happened yesterday. Where this mom, who's got to be 20-something, let me have it. Folks, I have not been spoken to like that in a very long time. She called me all kind of names. And so I was getting upset. But there was a gentleman with her. He was probably in his late 20-somethings. But he actually stepped toward me. Now, I'm not a very tall person, if you've seen me in person. I'm not that tall. I am not imposing at all. I may sound like I'm 6 feet tall. I'm really more like 5'4", 5'5". Dude stepped up to me asking me, was there a problem? Did I want it to be a problem? Like, why was I getting involved? Why was I even talking to them? And I stepped back. I was a little nervous, a little scared. I stepped back. But I made eye contact with each of the kids to try to, at least in my eye contact, let them know, hey, I see you. I love you. I care about you. I'm sorry this is happening. I wish I could do more. Because what I heard in this mother speaking to them was verbal abuse. Should we lean in? 410-319-8888. I have Richard on the phone from Baltimore. Richard, how are you?
Dr. K, I've called you during the Christmas holiday by
the
menu.
Welcome back.
I'm calling you again. Here you go again. You cannot solve all the problems in Baltimore City. You just said you tried before and the same result. You got cursed out. You know what they say, doing the same thing over and expect a different result. What did your husband say to you? If you were my wife, I would have told you, mind your business. You cannot. They curse you out. And now and then, they do that all the time because you wouldn't have done it then. Unless you're going to go home with them, you cannot change all the ills in Baltimore City or in the world.
So don't do anything. Just mind my business, Richard. You're saying you hear someone verbally abusing children, you don't say anything? You just walk on?
Look, their kids, she probably do that. It's not the first time she's done it, obviously.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it right. It does. I mean, I hear you.
Wait a minute. Yeah. It doesn't make it right. Well, they might feel the same way. It doesn't make it right. You get in their business.
All right. I appreciate you, Richard. So that's one person saying we just mind our business, folks. 410-319-8880. Do we just mind our business? Cursing at the kids, screaming at the kids. Hey, I see somebody beating up on a woman. Just mind my business. I see someone dragging a kid along. She's screaming, hey, that's not my parent. Nope. Mind my business. I'm saying if all we do is mind our business, if all we're doing is the Machiavelli sense of ethics, because Machiavelli said you only pursue your enlightened self interest. You don't get involved. If it doesn't deal with me and my world, I don't get involved. Bertha, a new call from Baltimore. Bertha, how are you? Welcome to the family.
I'm fine. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
Here's the thing. For the one person that you reach out to that says, yes, can you help me? If it was no more than her just saying, if you could just help me fold my clothes, I can get my kids out of here quicker. It's a very slippery slope because most people aren't receptive to anything like that because they feel like you're judging them as a parent.
Right.
And you're really not judging them. You just see that they need some help. And however you want to accept that help, you know, if it was me, I would have done the same thing. I would say, you know, young sister, is there any way I can help you, you know, you and your kids home? Can I help you with anything? You know, I would have done the same thing. Probably would have cussed me out too, but on the one opportunity that you reach out to that person, that you know they come back and they say yes. If you could just help me fold my clothes, I can get my kids home because they're getting crazy and I'm getting crazy, and we need to just be out of here. You know what I mean? I mean, For me, I would have done the same thing. It's the same thing. I work in the school system. I work for Baltimore County Public Schools. It's the same thing. Parents coming up, and when you're telling them what their kids are not doing, they take it as you're telling them that they're not being a good parent. And it's not that at all. You're just trying to explain to them what's taking place and what needs to happen to make their child successful.
Thank you so much. I think we got to do something. That way. I mean, I'm just saying, Bertha, I mean, if the entire Baltimore City, if we just mind our business, I don't think we'd have a lot done in this city. Part of it is that we got to mind other people's business if we want to see some healing. It's got to be something here.
You got to reach out to your fellow man.
I agree. Thank you so much. Yeah, try to help your neighbor. We have Pam on the phone from Baltimore. Pam, what do you think?
Hi, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Okay, Dr. K, you asked the question, do we lean in?
Yes.
Do we do anything? So I'm going to say yes, you do. But I'm going to give you a paradox here because you also have to mind your business. So I think it's different ways that you can lean in. Of course, you know I work in the school system. And so what you see is what some of your former guests have said. Hurt people, kids. This is why there's no respect. But at the end of the day, Baltimore City has taken on this, if you will, mind your business, stop snitching. All of that goes hand in hand. Now, you can get hurt, really hurt, by stepping in, trying to tell someone or give some advice. You have to find another way. It may be a teacher or counselor at the high school that will be able to step in, lean in, as you say, and show the kids the right way. Because what they're getting at home is what you saw. But you cannot intervene because you could get hurt. So you have to find other avenues to show kids that's not what you do. That's not how you react to a situation. But that's why so many of our kids are really ticking time bombs, because that's what they deal with daily. One more thing before I get off the air.
Yes.
It's almost like you riding in the car doing whatever you do with your son. And say you get out for an ice cream cone, and I really don't agree with whatever advice or however you're talking to your son, and I intervene. You would be terribly upset, even though you're not verbally abusing your kid, but who am I to tell you? We all know that that type of behavior is not acceptable, but sometimes you have to take a step back and just hope that this family will. We need parenting skills. I tell you that all the time.
Yes, you do.
This is a great example. But you be careful, Dr. K. You out there drying clothes, leaning in.
I'm telling you, maybe I need to kind of figure out or just dry my clothes at home. I mean, the whole idea. Of my chats from the laundromat is to go out. Thank you so much, Pam. I appreciate you, folks. People are chiming. I got a text here on my phone. Let me just say, hey, look, I get where you were coming from. She's telling me you were wrong. Dr. K, you were wrong. She may have been a bit abusive, but you have to focus on developing relationships with the parents, not the children. Start by relating to the parent as exasperated parents, not as abusive parents. I mean, because truly, I was. I was looking at the kids, but I was talking to her. Hey, is it okay? You know, is everything all right? I don't know, folks. I'm just saying, do we just mind our business? Now, in this situation, I wasn't hurt. Maybe. What made it worse is that the gentleman was with her. I mean, you know, he was there. He got out the car. And I didn't approach her. I didn't walk up. I just said, hey, are you okay? You know, how can I help? Is everything all right? But I was looking at the kids because I was concerned about the particularly when she snatched that boy up by the arm. I don't know if he was walking too slow. Whatever it is or whatever it was a situation. We have Yaya on the phone from Baltimore County. Yaya, how are you?
Dr. Ken, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I've had that experience myself, you know, in getting involved in young women and men, cursing at your children, being disrespect. And, you know, and intervening sometimes can be a good thing, sometimes can be a bad thing. But, Dr. K, what we're going through right now is a lot of parents are going through what they're going through, and they don't know how to deal with their children. And they're traumatizing their children verbally, physically, emotionally. So sometimes what we have to try to do, we have to try to change the behavior of the parents so that we can help change the behavior of the children. Now, today I went to pick up my granddaughter from school. They had some young men fighting. They was banking this one young man. I got out my vehicle. I broke it up, but I called one of the staff members to talk to him. And believe me, these little young boys are so disrespectful to the extent of the way that they handle themselves. But a lot of times we have to go back to, you know, what are they getting at home? A lot of that is coming from home. It may not be coming from their environment. But sometimes, man, we have to more or less try to re-educate the parents so that we can better aid the children, you know. Sometimes you have to get involved, you know, but you have to be careful in getting involved.
All right. Thank you so much. Now, I will say, folks, with what Yaya said, to keep the conversation going, I want to expand a little bit more. So here's another situation I'm just putting on the table. Thank you so much for calling, Yaya. Here's another situation I want to put on the table. You're walking with your kids, and you are with your young people, your children, and young men are cursing around your children. They're cursing with each other. Do you say anything? Now, I will say, in the past, when my boys were younger, I did say something. I did say, hey, brothers, you know, I got my sons here. You know, hey, brothers, you know, I got my boys here. And typically, the young men would apologize, my bad, sorry, and they would stop. Well, now that my sons are older, at 19 and 17, my sons have said to me, Mom, if you hear cursing, you can't say, hey, I got my sons here, because now we look like men. Like, you can get us caught up in a whole nother situation, so it's best for you not to say anything. So here we have it. Do we lean in for parents verbally abusing their children, snatching them up, or do we mind our business? Do we lean in when we see the young brothers cursing in the store, hanging on? Do we lean in at all? Or do we just, for our own safety, say, I'm just going to mind my own business? 410-319-8880. I have Nathaniel on the phone from Pikesville. Nathaniel, how are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good, Dr. K. My hero, Dr. K.
Nathaniel, my brother from Coffee and Conversations.
Yeah. Look, check this out. So I would say lean in, but only if you prepare to fight, to testify in court, to lose your job if you're a professional, or lose your life if the individual is, you know, off the meat rack.
Okay, do you hear how this sounds? Now, Dan, you've met me in person. I probably don't strike you like a fighter. I am not in any sense. So I need to be ready to fight, lose my life, lose my job. I mean, listen to this. To just say, hey, you know, are you okay? That's all I was asking the sister.
You can't do it. Remember back in 2012, that Philadelphia SEPTA incident where they were on the bus. A young mother was essentially verbally abusing her child on the bus. The gentleman said something to her. She made a phone call. Two bus stops later, her brothers and their friends shot up the bus, the Philadelphia SEPTA bus. They almost killed people on that bus.
Wow.
Just because a gentleman stepped up and he's told her, hey, you need to stop verbally abusing your child. So, I mean, you really have to condition your mind for the consequences if you decide to lean in. Because I've done it several times, believe it or not. And I'm more reserved in doing it now because, I mean, you saw that I have a twin brother. So
right.
A lot of folks, if they see him out, they don't care if it's him or if it's me. They're just upset and angry, you know. So I think you just have to mentally prepare yourself for the consequences, and if you're ready for it, then, you know, go ahead and lean in.
You know what, Nathaniel, thank you very much. I appreciate you calling. I am not, thank you so much. I am not ready to die for this, folks. I do think when children are involved, do we not say anything? I mean, I remember that SEPTA situation when the guy stepped in. Somebody just texted me and said, hey, maybe what we do is we say to the mom, hey, are you having a bad day? Maybe just open up conversation with her. She was not very friendly. And maybe because she was having a bad day. I mean, she was at the laundromat. And maybe it was just the laundromat, the children. Maybe it was all of that. I mean, it wasn't a bad day. It was a beautiful day yesterday. But it led me down a path that had me thinking, what next? We have Wesley on the phone from Reisterstown, Maryland, a Morgan alum. Wesley, how are you?
Oh, pretty good, Dr. K. See, profession, anyway, as a former therapist, you know, I'm getting ready to say, domestic situations can be very dangerous. Yeah. Now, how dumb would you feel if you intervened to try to help somebody and you ended up getting killed? I mean, you know, that's, you know, a lot of people are sitting on a powder keg and the society is mistreating them and you come and criticize, you know. The only thing I can say is I was in a situation where I was sitting on a bus one time and I knew the bus driver. So we were talking and so forth. This lady got on the bus, started giving him a bunch of crap, you know. She had three children. And I says to her, come on, ma'am, you don't need to, you know, come on, you don't need to do that. Well, what happened was she ended up 10 cents short on her fare. And the bus driver said, you know, but ma'am, you're going to have to get off, whatever. So I put the 10 cents in the box and didn't expect anything from her. She sat down beside me. And when I got off the bus, I told her, anytime you got these three kids, or anytime you see me, I'll give you my seat for one of these children or whatever. So anytime you see me, just come on back. You got my seat, no problem. And it happened that did happen often because she got on the bus same time I was on the bus.
Okay.
And I gave her my seat. She appreciated it. And we became friendly, very friendly. So that can happen, but the situation you're talking about with a young guy there, you better be careful with that.
Yeah, I'm about to mind my business. Thank you so much, Wesley. So you
well,
know what, folks?
Okay.
I was trying to lean in. Joseph from Baltimore. Joseph's a first timer. Hey, Joseph, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Apparently, I can't lean in anymore. Apparently, I got to mind my business. I'm
well,
not
you know
afraid
what?
To die. I mean, I'm not afraid to die. I don't want to die. I'd like to live a long time, actually.
Right, but guess what? In some instances, yes, you gotta play your position. You really can't always say things even though you want to say it.
Mm.
I had an incident where I was at my son's school. I'm walking through the hallway with his teacher. So a couple young guys in the hallway, but they cursing up a storm. She act like she didn't hear him. I was like, Mo, what are you doing? Like, come on, man. Have some respect. But you know what they did? They respected it. Because of simple fact, I didn't try to disrespect them.
Okay.
But guess what? In some instances, you had to leave things alone. You really do. And you see how Baltimore is? Baltimore is, like you said, a powder keg. You never know what's going to happen.
I'm telling you. I'm saying, what in the thing? I said, be prepared to die or lose your job. Like, lose my job.
And he's not kidding. One
or
the other.
Woo.
One or the other.
Ooh, thank you, Joseph.
You got to be a little more calmer.
Oh, man, folks. Come on now. 410-319-8888. Diane's on the phone from Southeast Baltimore. Diane, how are you?
Hey, Dr. K, how you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. Apparently, I need to learn how to mind my business.
No, Dr. K, that's the problem. That because people don't speak up. That's why Baltimore is bleeding the way it is, because nobody speaks up. Nope, they say, oh, it's not my business. It is your business because they're getting verbal abuse. It's just like getting hit, you know, that physical abuse. The emotional abuse is worse because then they go out and think that they can beat up anybody. I do that. I take upon myself and say something. I get cussed out, but I don't care. I'm protecting the children. And if you don't protect them, who else is going to protect them?
And that's the thing. Thank you, Diane, because that's all I'm thinking. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong, Diane, but, I am a pessimist with optimist leanings. But I like to think that one day maybe those kids will remember the people who saw them, that maybe we couldn't save them. Maybe we couldn't get them away, but we saw them. I just wanted the kids to know that I saw them, the young people to know that I saw them. That's it.
Ready to see you and your son. I had an idea for you to have the young people to come on your show once a month and talk about how they are dealing with the trauma, especially the ones that put their bill together to have it to be signed yesterday. And your son, he was just gorgeous.
on yesterday.
Yeah, it was nice, and you know, but we have to lean in. And God gives you who not to. And when you said you backed away when the guy stepped to you, you know, that's the right thing, because I would have had 911 push that button on my phone and say, okay, this dude, I'm talking to the young lady. I'll tell the young lady, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to him. Ooh. I'm talking to you.
I did not. Let me just say that. I did not feel comfortable saying that. What I said, I stepped away.
Right. And
I stepped away.
See, I'm a little bit braver than you, because I feel that, and most of the time people are scared because, like a couple of your callers say, because they don't feel that you had no right in their business, but you do, because you are protecting the children.
Right.
And you're protecting them because they're not really angry at you. They're angry at themselves, whatever happened during the day, so they take it out on the children. Right. And like you always say, to hurt people, hurt people.
Come on, hurt people, hurt people. Thank you so much, Diane. So maybe we don't mind our business, folks. Who's going to save Baltimore if not us? Deborah's on the phone from Baltimore County. Deborah, what do you think?
Dr. Kay, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
Yes. Dr. Kay, I haven't listened to the whole conversation, but I've listened to enough of it to know how I would respond. And I think that we do have to do something. But I think the something you might want to do is to contact the police and let them handle the situation, because it really is a police matter. Because when you think about it, someone that treats their children in that way, the problem is so much more convoluted, so much more complicated than just saying, how can I help you today? They got some serious issues. And so that's what I would do. I mean, sometimes you have to gauge it. Maybe there are some situations that you can lean in and do something, but I think you do have to exercise great caution, because this is a very dangerous city, and you could end up dead like all of your other previous callers have said. I would do something, but I would be more inclined to call the police.
Thank
and
you
let
so
them
much.
Handle the matter.
I appreciate you. Folks, maybe according to my somebody who's texted me, saying, you know, maybe we're still focusing too much on the children, on the parents. I'm sorry, we're still focusing too much on the children. Unless you're prepared to take those children home with you, maybe we focus on the parents. I don't know. Let's talk about it when I come back. I have Ben, I have Johemba, I have Bob, I have David. I'm going to hear from Darnell from the Baltimore ceasefire when we return. Don't go anywhere. This conversation is only going to get better. Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, we're talking through a situation I had when I was out doing my chats at the laundromat. I've been doing this for about a year now. Many of you know I like to do ethnographic studies. Prior to chats from the laundromat, I used to go over to the Black Butterfly neighborhoods and did dispatches from Baltimore, where I would walk through the neighborhoods, Sandtown, Winchester. I'd go over to Clifton, Berea, Edmondson, and I just walk through and I would talk to people and I would get their stories and I would get permission from them to tell their stories. I moved from dispatches from Baltimore into chats from the laundromat. Yesterday, I saw a woman with four children. She was screaming and yelling and cursing at them. She snatched one of the little boys by his arm, and I stepped in to try to help. I said, hey, is everything okay? Something around, you know, is everything all right? How can I help you? I thought I was being polite. I thought I was being non-judgmental. She didn't think so. And her screaming and cursing in response to me, I pulled back. Now, understand, I did not engage with her, particularly when the young man stepped to me. And they were probably 20-something. He took a step toward me and asked me in no uncertain terms, was I having a problem or did I want it to be a problem? But was very clearly telling me to mind my own blah, blah, blah business. I looked each one of the children in the eye. I just wanted them to know that I saw them. I couldn't do anything. I just wanted to know I saw them. Now, I'm wondering, should we lean in? A couple people have chimed in on Facebook Live. Arlene said there are a lot of options to the scenario that I went to. Lolly Young Marcus said, hey, you know what? We got to talk about whether or not you are talking to people who are mentally unstable. If so, you have to be careful. Marcel Stark says, you know what? Don't say anything. Sometimes you can just stop and look. No matter what she says, do not respond. Sometimes people will self-check. Alvin said a young woman pulled up next to him the other day with a baby in the backseat with weed smoke coming from the car. That times they are a-changing. In Baltimore City, we have to understand the level of anger and hate in our community. Come on, folks. Dina Fisher said, hey, thank you for standing in the gap. She said, it is our obligation to do so. We cannot turn the blind eye. I am said, you know what? I do think we should help in this way, that we need to get involved. We need to step in. So, you know what's interesting? Arlene said, now here we go. She said, I would have also educated that parent and said, are you speaking death into your children's life? Do you want that? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I would have educated her with the scriptures, Proverbs 18:21. Hey, folks, I was all ready to go in. I will say, and I'm just going to go ahead and put it out here. I'm not going to be embarrassed by this. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I got scared when the brother stepped in. I don't go toe-to-toe with men. I don't. I mean, I was by myself, didn't have my kids with me, didn't have my husband with me. I was doing my own little Chats Milan match, not bothering anybody, but I would never go toe-to-toe with the man. Now, I don't know. He made me a little bit nervous. He was a little bit scary. He was quite a tall and big guy. So that's why I backed off and didn't say anything else. She was not happy. He was not happy. The kids definitely were not happy. And by the end of this, neither was I. So I'm just asking you, what do we do? I'm going to take a couple more calls, and I have Darnell from Ceasefire holding on. I'll come to him in just a second. Let me go to Bob, a new call from Baltimore County. Bob, how are you? Welcome to the family. Bob, are you with us?
Yes. The reason we're called, Dr. Tuck,
yes,
because I was about 5 years old, a long time ago, about stepfather molesting me.
Okay. Bob, I am so sorry that that happened to you. And I'm sorry that you've been holding on to this. And I appreciate that you feel comfortable to disclose on our show. Here's what we're going to do for you, Bob. We're going to put you on hold, but I want you to know that we are not silencing you. We are not trying to get rid of you. I just want to put you on hold so Justina can give you the number to the counselor that we have. We do keep a counselor on speed dial. We want to give you her number because you have to understand there is life, there is love, there's happiness on the other side of abuse. And for a lot of people, getting to that light and that love and that happiness starts with having someone to talk to, a professional. And so we have that person for you. Hold on 1 second, Bob. You are not alone. 410-319-8888. We have Paul on the phone from Pikesville, new caller. Paul, how are you? Welcome to the family.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I was calling about the topic you were speaking about.
Yes.
Well, I did it a couple of times since Luther, and I get cussed out. So,
you stepped in before?
Sometimes. Yeah, I did it. I stepped in before. I said people told their kids dirty, and I stepped in before, and it cussed me out. But, like, sometimes you get in the moment, when you speak, you're not even thinking. You're just looking at the kids like, man, they put in the kids.
Right.
But I think, like, they should form, for, like, some groups, or, like, the churches or some communities. You go out, and then you see something like that, you should approach them. But I don't advise you to do it by yourself, because it's very dangerous, especially if you're a female by yourself. Yeah, you could get really hurt. So,
okay, I appreciate you. I like the fact that you have leaned in, though.
Yeah, I think people should say something when they can, but you got to be careful how you approach them, because they get really offensive when you, because they go, sometimes they really go into a lot. They confused, they stressed out, so. But they take it out on the kids.
Yeah, the kids are vulnerable. Thank you so much, Paul.
Yeah.
I don't agree with calling the police. Okay, so, you know, you see a mom screaming and yelling and cursing at her children. I think calling the police into that situation, to me, is going in the wrong direction. Let's not forget what research shows us, right, folks? The research shows us that when cops are called on black folks, there's a higher percentage of chance that the black person might get shot or killed, roughed up, or arrested. Like, it's just all of those things are on the table because we live in a society and in a city where the cops don't necessarily show up to keep the peace, show up to kind of help us through sometimes. Sometimes they show up to defend and protect and serve and heard, and it's not necessarily a safe situation. Here's what someone said. How about saying to the woman, the mom, hey, that purse is cute. Can I give the kids a piece of candy? Or asking the kid, hey, what are you reading? Maybe that's what we do. 410-319-8888. I have Joe Himble on the phone from Maryland. Joe, how are you?
Hi, Mama. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, I'll get to my points quite easily. One, you leaned in. That was a good point. Second point is never randomly lean in on a situation. You look at it, observe it, stand back first.
Mm.
Then have a plan. Your plan could have been, should have been. And I'm looking at it now with the remarks. You need to use your show as a way of bringing kids in, having them focus on things that they can't do. Actually, on your show, they're going to go off. Unless you bring in all the good kids, the kids are going to go off. Their language will be off. Because in the classroom, that's how it is. And bring the parents on as well to refocus on how they can't handle their own kids, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's necessary because they need an outlet. They don't need what you just gave the young person who called in, is another professional. They need, and I think you could do this, head up a group. People, you wanting to do what you want to do, if other people want to do it, I would love to be with you. Beginning as a volunteer, we start a group of parents who go out and refocus. The plan is, you say, hi, my name is Jay. I have a show, and I listened to what you were saying with your kids. I would like to have you on your show to explain some of the things you're feeling. Here is my card. Walk away or get into conversation and just let it be and let her get back in touch with you. And then it begins with that motion that you begin an organization that deals with things we're not dealing with in Baltimore. The problems you're dealing with are problems of parents not controlling their kids, or the control they have is so negative that kids take it to school, and it's a circle. And the circle is not intended to change. You are bringing up a problem. I prayed about the same thing. And the answer that's coming up is you are in a structure where you can look at some change happening. It's not going to be immediate. Start a group. Start
I love it. I love what you're saying.
It will work.
I love it. You know, what I'm having to do, I'm joining Joe. I'm putting you on it. Justina, get Joe's number, because that idea of going around, and folks, I don't usually just walk up to people and say, hey, I'm Dr. K, I have a show. But in that situation, Joe is saying, hey, you know, sister, I have a show. We talk about this all the time. I would love to hear from you, and give her my card. I mean, that is a way of showing up in a space. I see her. She knows that I see her. That might check the behavior in and of itself. We might be on to something here, folks. We might be on to something. I have Darnell on the phone from the Baltimore Ceasefire. Darnell, how are you?
Dr. K, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You know, we have a lot going on the show today, but I couldn't let today go by without just getting a quick update from the Baltimore Ceasefire. I'm so proud of the work that you and Erica Bridgeford and the whole team is doing. How was it this weekend?
This weekend, the events were awesome. We had one of the events that we did go to, we had a youth artist, like three youth artists had did specific painting for the Ceasefire weekend.
Oh, nice.
One went to, I think one went to Western, one went to City, and another one went to Creative City. I think it's like, I can't remember the three, but they did awesome work. Darius Jennings, he's here from Baltimore. He's a football player. He plays for the Tennessee Titans. He came and brought, like, four paintings. Like, he really supported the youth there. It was an excellent weekend when it came to the events.
Oh, excellent. And when is the next ceasefire, Darnell?
The next ceasefire is in the second weekend of May. We always do it on the second weekend of May during Mother's Day because we always want to celebrate and recognize the mothers and fathers who've lost children to violence in Baltimore.
Okay, good. I appreciate what you're doing, and I want to, for the next one, just put it out here. We would like to lean in even harder to be able to, you know, count down with you, to be able to share some, like, we push people to the website, but I'd like to share some specifics as we come back around to the ceasefire for May.
Most definitely can do that, because what we really want to do as far as just Baltimore ceasefire movement, the residents and everybody to let murder know, because murder is going to show up, but right. We want to let murder know we're going to show up also,
oh,
and we're going to show up to the point where we're going to be there before murder happens. Because that's what we want to do. We want to make sure resources are available to people, that peace, love, and light is permeating across the city, that when murder shows up, it won't even have a place nowhere in the city.
Oh, Darnell, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you for holding on, too. We have Ben on the phone from downtown Baltimore. Ben, how are you?
Hi, the case. It's been a while.
No, I'm glad you held on. I mean, what do you think of that idea of just showing up and saying, hey, here's my card. I'd love to have you on my show to talk about, just to kind of lean it in that way.
That is a great way to diffuse, and that's a good way to start an approach so things can change. And I think that, you know, my generation had dropped the ball because when I came up, somebody talked like that, well, you had a knuckle sound coming your way.
Mm.
No uncertain terms.
Right.
But to give you some examples that I have dealt with, when I seen a young lady on bus stop, and she had two children, one a boy, and he was the youngest one, and his sister was the big sister. She's beating up on this boy is trying to get her attention, to get some help, some protection from his big sister. She totally ignored him. And the amount of anger I seen this child's face and his demeanor and his eyes.
Mm.
I said, this boy one day is going to come up, he's going to wind up beating somebody's daughter to death.
Wow.
Because there's so much hatred in him for women because of what treatment he's receiving from his big sister in the ignoring that his mother is giving. So I asked her, I said, ma'am, you see what your daughter's doing to you? Well, mind you, and that's business. And I said, ma'am, this child's not going to be 6 years old forever.
Right. Wow.
I said, when he becomes 13, 14, your daughter's going to be in trouble. And if you say something to him, you may be in trouble. He may want to lay you out. So best time now to check it. Because we don't see anything is why this stuff is so pervasive. The other situation is we're on the bus, and the kids, like high school kids would do, they talking, they cursing. And I just asked the guys to say, hey, man, we got women and children on the bus. Could you change your vocabulary? I know your vocabulary is bigger than that. And he told me to mind my MS business. So I asked him, I said, look, man, you need my special attention. I'll give it to you. So I went back there where he was and sat down beside him. And I explained to him where the history of that word and where it came from. And that I asked him, would he do something like that? I said, because the other actors on the plantation wouldn't associate with you. They would ostracize you.
Right.
I said, if you said something like that to me, you'd be looking up at the ceiling. I said, but I know your vocabulary is bigger than that because I hear that you got some intelligence. And why don't you start using it? You don't have to do that to make yourself look big. In fact, it really makes you look small.
Thank you so much, Ben. I appreciate you. Folks, I'm just wondering. I mean, I think about what Ben just said, that what are we, and I say we because I'm saying we're all collectively responsible, right? What are we allowing to happen? If we stand by while young people are being verbally abused or physically abused, emotionally abused, if we stand by, then why are we surprised when they're 15 and 16 years old with the behavior that we see? Come on, folks. If we see them abused in first grade, why are you surprised that they are being abusive when they get to 10th grade? I'm just saying, if we never say anything, if young people never believe that one person has the guts to stand up for them against their mom or their dad, since they can't do it, what are we teaching them? That you are alone, you are by yourself, you are vulnerable, you can be abused just because you're smaller. With Malcolm on the phone from Baltimore County. Malcolm, how are you? He's a Morgan alum as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I agree with everything you're saying. I'm definitely not one to hold my tongue when I see young people, you know, being disrespected or disrespecting other people. My thing is that if you see a parent and you see that they're going out of their way to be disrespectful to their children, extend them an olive branch. If they meet you with aggression, let it simmer, because a lot of these parents don't have the cognitive ability to even understand or process what you're saying to them at that time. They're mad, they're upset. Of course, we know hurt people. So as a professional, lend a hand. Give them a phone number. Hey, look, you know something? I see you dealing with something right now. Give me a call later. We got to take care of our own. The problem is that we don't have villages anymore.
Yeah,
we just don't have villages where you have these grandparents, we're passing down all this knowledge. We don't have that because we got young people having babies, and we got babies raising babies. They haven't even begun to process life because they started. They already had responsibilities before they was ready.
Oh, see. Thank you so much, folks. This thing is getting to a whole nother level here. I'm just saying. Let's think about what we're looking at here. We have Kim on the heart. We have Kim on the phone. Kim on the heart. Kim Trueheart's on the line. Kim, how are you?
I am well, Dr. K. How are you today?
I'm doing well. We're just trying to work through this situation here.
Let me share with you that a couple of years ago, I walked into Liberty Elementary School, and there was a grandparent there cursing out the principal in the lobby of the school. I walked over to her, and I said, "Can I help? What can I do to help?" Trying to diffuse the situation, because her two grandchildren were standing there, totally embarrassed by what was happening. She didn't care at the time. She just wanted to lay the principal out. She turns out, years later, to become the PTA president at Liberty. So engaged, so concerned about what was happening in that school that I managed to convince her that you can't beat up on the system unless you're a part of helping resolve the problems. And she stepped up. As recently as Saturday evening, I'm sitting in the lobby of a hotel, a major hotel. The bar is not too far away. There is a woman on her cell phone with the speaker on. Now, mind you, this woman, 20-something year old, is sitting next to a guy at the bar. They've been drinking. She's on the phone with her husband, cursing him out. This is a prolonged conversation. Wow. There are other people in the lobby, including children. The bartender asked her to tone it down. She totally ignores him. She does have time to ask for another drink, though. I thought it was just completely outrageous that she's having this conversation with her husband about their relationship and how it was failing, letting the world know, right, that they were having marital problems as she's sitting next to this other man. Two callers ago talked about the vocabulary of the residents of Baltimore City, and I call it stunted vocabulary. I believe our children don't know how to say anything other than in a profane way.
Wow.
It's sad.
It is very sad.
We know statistically that improving one's vocabulary leads to better academic outcomes.
Everything happens
better
from there.
Right.
Yes.
And so when are we going to start beefing up the ability of our people to communicate in more intellectual ways?
All right, I got to stop you there, Kim. Folks, you know what? Let me go to Rose. Rose is a new caller from Baltimore. Rose, how are you? Thank you for calling back.
Hi, thank you for having me. I wanted to say that, well, first, I really appreciate the last caller and your comment about the police and how, you know, okay, sometimes they can show up and actually protect and serve, but the truth is there is so much that comes with calling the police, so much liability and so much unintended consequence just from police activity. And it makes me feel that I wonder if there was some institution that wasn't punitive, that didn't punish people, you know, that didn't come for people, that trained people, like ordinary people like you and me in situations where we see something and we want to engage,
I like that.
That, you know, had nothing to do. And I think of the police, the most funded branch of, you know, Baltimore City, really. And if some of that funding went towards embracing the community or training people to embrace the community, you have a therapist on speed dial, you know? We don't have access or the vocabulary, you know, to really engage, and I appreciate, I mean, the need for this conversation is so strong. So I just appreciate that so much.
Thank you so much, Rosa.
That's my comment.
No, I'm so glad you called and chimed in. Folks, 410-319-8888. Melissa on the phone. Melissa's a new call from Baltimore. Welcome to the family.
Hey, Dr. K. Hey. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I agree with a lot of what your callers responded to, but, you know, we can't forget to take God out of the equation.
Mm.
I have seen a lot of situations where I felt like I had an impulse that I needed to step in, but for those of us who are connected to God, really need to exercise the power of prayer that we have, and in that moment, exercise wisdom and ask for wisdom. God, are you really telling me to interact in this situation, and if so, tell me the strategy. Give me the plan. And he will do that if we take the time to allow him to do that. I ran into a situation when I was at a mall, and I saw four children on a bench, and I was sitting across them, like on the other side of the hall. And I think the parents were in, they were in the nail salon. Like, the children were unattended. And there were four young children, and one of the middle children was a little girl, and she was just wailing on the baby.
Mm.
Just beating on them, spanking on them, and you know, really wasn't treating him well. So when one of the adults came out, I approached her and I said, are these your four children? And she says, well, some of them are. I said, well, you know, these are great kids. They all stayed in the same vicinity. They didn't wander off. I started that interaction.
With a compliment.
Yeah, okay. but it was a genuine compliment. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just a compliment just to kind of butter her up. It was a genuine compliment. I tried to find something good in that situation to lead off with, because the Bible does tell us that a soft answer turns away wrath.
Right.
And so when in doing that, that made her in that moment receptive to what I had to say. Now, that response would not have carried over in every other situation, but that's where really talking to God and having that conversation, like, I don't want to act on impulses. I want to be wise if I feel compelled to intervene in a situation. I think that's very important.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much, Melissa. We have Dante on the phone. Dante's a new caller as well from Baltimore. Welcome to the family, Dante.
Oh, wow. How you doing, Dr. Karen?
Doing well.
All right. So I definitely agree with the last caller that just spoke. That was pretty powerful.
Right.
And then also, the other thing is I'm not saying this to you. I'm speaking in general.
Right.
To the majority of us throughout the Baltimore metropolitan area, how do you view yourself? How do you see yourself operating in our community, in our society, as not just as yourself, but also as a complete community? I'm saying that for a reason, because the way I operate, the way I roll, I try to do things out of love, you know, because the opposite of hate is love, right?
Right.
And I also recognize that, as a black man, you know, a fairly young one, and coming from our city, you know, I also recognize the poverty and the fruits of poverty. And so from some of what you were talking about earlier, with how the gentleman, the lady approached you and blah, 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 a lot of the frustrations come out of black, you know?
It was definitely, thank you so much, Dante. Let me see, I have to have one more phone call, Justina. One more. Colleen's a new call from Baltimore. Welcome, Colleen. Wanted to get your comment in.
Thank you. Hi.
Hey.
I just wanted, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. I just wanted to say that everything that was said today was awesome. But I wanted to add, people know in families when parents are rough on children or saying things. So if we could start there. If we could start with our own families
and
say something. When we see family members mistreating children, family members saying things and talking in a negative way, even our kids talking in a negative way, if we could just start right there, it would be a beginning.
Thank you so much,
Colleen. That's all I have to say.
I appreciate you, folks. I'm going to hold it here. I appreciate you taking the last 2 hours and spending time with me. Make an appointment. Meet me back here tomorrow at 3 p.m. Let's have another conversation that matters. Folks, and I think we should do what Angela Davis said, that we should no longer accept the things we cannot change. We should focus on changing the things we cannot accept. It's been an honor and a privilege. Today with Dr. K, I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Let's talk tomorrow.